Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, September the 18th. A housing meltdown, the painful credit crunch, and the dreaded R word could weigh heavily on the Federal Reserve when it meets today to consider cutting an important interest rate. A rate cut would be the first in 4 years as the Fed considers whether the reduction is needed to stave off an economic recession. The action could affect millions of borrowers and revitalize the economy as rates go down on a variety of loans. It would become less expensive for people to finance certain credit card debt and for homeowners to take out popular home equity lines of credit. Also, it should help some homeowners whose adjustable rate mortgages reset in the fall. The policymakers are widely expected to cut the rate by at least 0.25 percentage point. Some analysts are predicting a 0.5 point reduction. We'll talk about the expected cut when the Fed meets this afternoon and wonder if it's enough or if it's too late. We'll talk with a guest economist about whether or not a recession is looming. Former Fed Chair Alan Greenspan doesn't think so. In interviews this week and in a book that he has out, he predicts that the Fed will have to raise interest rates to double digits in coming years to thwart inflation. What do we make of all this? What concerns do you have about the economy? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Don Nichols, Emeritus Professor of Economics from the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
Oh, it's fine.
So the Fed will cut interest rates today?
I think they'll go down a quarter, and I don't think they'll go down a half. Yeah, there's a lot of internal dissension. There's a lot of different theories that they have to worry about, a lot of different forces. And this is a new board, you know. There's a lot of academics on this board, more than usual. And the academic literature would not support a large rate cut at this time.
Yeah, why do you say that?
Well, because they take the long view, and the view is that there has been excessive speculation in Wall Street on these new kinds of securities that have been created to share risk, and that lowering interest rates would just bail these people out who have done very improper things. Now, I don't mean illegal by improper. I mean unsound economically. And that sets us up for a problem in the future, that when a group of people get together with new ideas a decade from now, they'll think, well, if we get into trouble, the Federal Reserve will bail us out.
Yeah.
And the academics like to have the view out in the public that what they do is going to be on their neck, and they shouldn't think they have some guarantor, some powerful arm in the government that's going to help them get out of their troubles.
Are you talking about the hedge funds or the subprime mortgage lenders? Who's getting bailed out with a cut in the interest rate?
Both of them, and the problem is that the subprime mortgage market is just an example of the problems we have in the securities markets. Excuse me, one second. And the problem is that the way to handle mortgages these days is to have some firm be the mortgage originator, and I guess the biggest one who's in temporary trouble is Countrywide Credit. They create a lot of mortgages, but then they package these mortgages together into a security. You can think of it as a bond. And they sell it to large investors like pension funds or insurance companies or universities with endowments. And the university buys a package of loans, of a package that is a group of mortgages, and the payment by the people making mortgage payments goes to the purchaser of this bond. Well, in the old days, that was fine, and it still is fine for mid-level mortgages because these get guaranteed by government institutions, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they're called. These are institutions that do it with a government guarantee. But at the very bottom end, the government won't guarantee these. Those are the subprimes. And at the very top, the mortgages are too big to for the government to think they need help. And so that's any mortgage above $417,000. And so what Wall Street had done was take these packages now and break them into new creative pieces. And let, for example, you could buy a security, put up 85% of the value of these and get a guarantee of no default. Or put up 85% and say, your 85 are good. If 15% go under, those are the 15 we're keeping, and you have the 85 that are fine. Well, of course, a purchaser of such a security has a fine security and is willing to accept a very low interest rate. And the person who holds the remainder holds a very risky bundle, but it is paid for it with a somewhat higher interest rate. And so it's the selling of these very risky pieces that became very competitive, and they were sold at rates that would not cover the risk. Mm-hmm. And at the most extreme level, you could buy a security that would have 100% of the mortgages, all the mortgages, but with a guarantee of no default. Some big New York institution would guarantee no default. Now, that guarantee is like an insurance contract. They are insuring the quality of these mortgages. And that contract is being bought and sold, and it's a lot of them have been bought by hedge funds, and hedge funds are lightly regulated. We don't know what they own. They don't have to report the way a mutual fund does. And so there are hedge funds with these ominous problems on their books that are hidden from the view of the public.
Yeah. Well, but so why are we hearing so much that if there isn't a cut of something, that that a recession is looming?
Well, that's the second leg of the problem. Mm. That's the housing market, the fundamental problem in housing. We had great overbuilding, overpricing of housing for the last several years. That market peaked in 2006 and has been loosening and coming down ever since. That is, the quantity of new construction is down by about a third since then. A huge recession in housing is well underway. Prices are now starting to move down. And when prices move down, many mortgages become risky. That is, there are a lot of people who bought houses with 10% down or 5% mm-hmm. down. And if the 5%, if the price of the house goes down 5%, the mortgage is worth as much as the house. And if the house goes down by 10%, the mortgage is worth more than the house. And so there are people who just walk away, who mm-hmm. say, okay, bank, you own my house and you get my mortgage.
Yeah. Let me hold you there, Professor Nichols, because we have a weather break coming up here. And then we'll continue talking with Don Nichols, Emeritus Professor of Economics, about the Federal Reserve meeting today and set to consider cutting an important interest rate. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, September the 18th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5 o'clock, Ben will talk with two guests about the ongoing debate over this bill called the Video Competition Act, which is in the state legislature. Some say it will increase cable competition. Others say it will curb it. And Ben will have both sides after 5 o'clock this afternoon during At Issue. Right now, we're talking about the economy. We're talking about the Federal Reserve meeting today and expected to cut interest rates. Wondering if this is called for or not. Will this stave off a possible recession? What concerns do you have about the current economy and the housing markets and even the job markets? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Policymakers, the policymakers on the Federal Reserve are expected to cut the interest rate by at least 0.25 percentage point. Some analysts are predicting or calling for a half-point reduction. Our guest this hour is predicting the 0.25 cut. Don Nichols, Emeritus Professor of Economics and of the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. We have a couple of lines open if you have a question or a comment about this for him at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And before we go to the phones, though, Professor Nichols, is the 0.25% cut in this interest rate a good thing? Do you think this is needed to stave off a recession?
Oh, yes. The argument I gave before as to why the members of the Fed will be saying don't cut, it's not because they don't believe that this time it'll be hard if we only cut 0.25%. It's that they're taking the long view and they're thinking of the next crisis and the crisis after that and how to minimize them. And you minimize them by not bailing out the people who did risky things now. I think we are heading for a short, quick recession. Now, there's disagreement on that, and I don't claim that I am the one guy who knows the truth. A lot of people think, no, that the economy is going to do fine. But I think we're heading for a short, sharp recession led by housing, and I don't think this quarter-point decline is going to be big enough to push it off.
Yeah. Let me go to the phones. Linda in Monroe. Hi, Linda. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Professor Nichols.
Good morning.
Now, I feel if Ben Bernanke, the number one banker in our country, wants to create another recession, even a stock market crash, he should lower the interest rates to bail out the stock market. But I feel that he should leave the rates where they are. Now, he should be independent from the president. Now, I think that's the exact same thing that happened after the 1929 stock market crash, and that's when Congress put in the Glass-Steagall Act, where the banks were not supposed to be in bed with the stock market. Now, our wealth and finance lobbyists and consultants got rid of that, though, and so that's why you have the problem. Now, I feel what he should do is tell Congress to tax the hedge fund dealers that got us into the subprime mortgage mess in the first place and all those state-by-state pension funds that they've robbed as well as corporations. What's your opinion?
Well, the reason these banks are now in brokers, it is true that we're not having the same, we do not have the same financial structure we had, say, a decade ago, is largely because of the internationalization of the market. And the Europeans are organized very differently. The German banks have always been heavily involved in equity markets. And the question was, when we go to have competition, when German banks put branches here and our banks put branches over there, and the huge international corporations borrow in both places, how are we going to regulate? And so to get a more common set of institutions and regulations, we moved in their direction and pretty much had to do that or be isolated from the rest of the world. And so it does create certain questions of conflict of interest, and these institutions have tried to claim that there is no conflict, that they separate the activities of the brokerage and all within their banks from their lending decisions. We've seen certain institutions get into trouble with that and be sued by Spitzer, who's now governor of New York, and paid $1 billion to drop the case. So presumably he had some evidence on them that this was inappropriate behavior. So yes, there's been inappropriate behavior in Wall Street. The current problem is not illegal behavior. The current problem is economically irresponsible behavior.
Yeah. Well, what does Linda mean when she says Bernanke would cause a recession by cutting interest rates? Is that true?
No.
Yeah.
No, the recession is looming, and the cutting of interest rates would make it lighter. It would help. And that's the reason we're going to see a cut, is he can't do nothing. Mm-hmm. Which is what happened in the Great Depression. The central bank did nothing and said, if we cut rates now, people will know our financial institutions are weak. We don't think they're weak, so we're not going to cut.
Yeah, but even with this quarter percent cut, you still think we're going to have a short, quick recession.
Right. And the private market interest rates have jumped by more than 0.25% in the last month, so he would only be undoing a bit of the damage that's already in the system. Mm-hmm. Jumbo loans, if people out there are fortunate enough to be having a big enough house, they're borrowing more than $417,000 on their mortgage, they'll find that today you have to pay 2 or 3 percentage points more than a month and a half ago.
Yeah. Well, besides those who don't want to bail out the hedge funds and the prime subprime mortgage folks, why not then cut it half point? Why not have even a bigger interest rate cut?
Well, a bigger cut would get us would lighten the recession even more and would help solve the problems of the insolvency of some of these institutions. That is, they'll be earning more interest on their money, et cetera. The reason is, as I've told you, that the Federal Reserve does not like to be chased around by Wall Street and let Wall Street do anything they want, and then it's the Federal Reserve's job to come in and sweep it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the feeling that the short, quick recession is a price that needs to be paid rather than clean up Wall Street.
Right. And when I said I'm predicting a short recession, not everyone is.
Okay.
So let's say more accurately the risk of a short-run recession rather than say the certainty of a short-run recession. The risk of a short-run recession is the right price to pay.
All right. Jim in Dubuque is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. One good, interesting website to look at is John Williams' Shadow Government Statistics. It's at shadowstats.com.
Will you ask our guest a question?
He's an economist who you can look at the analysis at that website, shadowstats.com, and you can see that...
No, we're not going to talk... Jim...
Since the early 80s, we have changed the way that we calculate GDP and inflation, and if you... look at how we determine whether we're in a recession, but with negative GDP, which is determined, GDP is determined by subtracting actual inflation from GDP. If you exaggerate GDP and you minimize inflation, you get erroneous numbers, and we have actually been in a recession for some time now.
All right. Do you know what he's saying, Professor Nichols?
Yeah, I don't agree that we've been. This could be Mr. Williams' opinion and his view of what the proper rate of inflation has been. It's very easy to measure GDP. It's very hard to measure inflation. And it is true that GDP net of inflation is real production. Total, it's supposed to be the volume of production. And in the old days, that was a simple thing to measure when we produced tons of steel and things like that. You could just count it up. But today, when we produce medical care and things that are very difficult to add up, what is the volume of medical care? We know how much we pay for it, but how much of what we get is an increase in quantity and how much is an increase in price is a very difficult thing to determine. And so there is fighting over how high the rate of price increase has been and, indeed, how much of a volume increase we have seen. But I think there's pretty good consensus that we have had an increasing volume of production. The things we can count are going up, housing among them. You can count the number of houses being built. So the where we can count volumes, they have been increasing. And a recession would be a decline in volumes. And as I say, the housing recession has started. The volume of production has gone down. And the question is whether that will spill over into the rest of the economy.
Yeah, we have a minute before a news break, but maybe you can get started on this. So what do you make of Alan Greenspan saying that he thinks the Fed will have to raise interest rates to double digits in the coming years to thwart inflation?
Well, he's taking a long view here. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't interpret that as relevant to this current discussion.
Okay.
That's coming down the line, and it comes in a passage of the book where he says he had it easy. He was there at a time when it was easy to bring inflation down, and interest rates tend to follow inflation. He said, at that time is pretty much over, and we're not going to have it be so easy to keep inflation down under Bernanke's watch, and therefore he thinks interest rates will have to go up. But he's talking about a long trend. He's not talking about this current little cycle.
All right. We are talking about today the Federal Reserve set to cut interest rates and wondering whether it's needed and what it will mean, and welcoming your questions for our guest economist, Don Nichols, Emeritus Professor of Economics at UW-Madison. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us on this Tuesday, September the 18th at 7:36. The Federal Reserve's policy-setting body may do something this afternoon that it hasn't done in more than 4 years, cut interest rates. The move by the central bank is seen coming amid evidence of a slowing economy and a credit crunch linked to the housing market meltdown. The federal funds rate is now at 5.25%. It is seen being cut by at least 0.25 percentage point today. If the Fed cuts the rate, then the prime lending rate that commercial banks charge many individuals and businesses would fall by a corresponding amount. It is now at 8.25%. So will this expected cut in the interest rate this afternoon stave off a possible recession? Our guest economist is still predicting a short, quick recession, even with a quarter of a percentage point interest rate cut. We welcome your thoughts and questions for him, your concerns about the economy, your questions about this interest rate cut or related issues. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is an emeritus professor of economics at UW-Madison, Don Nichols. And our next caller who's been waiting is Mike in Whitehall. Hi, Mike, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joey. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question, which is this, that a large part of the Fed's consideration will be the subprime mortgage market problem. And if the Fed does cut the discount, some of the folks that are on adjustable rates will benefit by that action, which is a good thing. Most times, sound economic actions have sound economic results and rewards, and irresponsible economic action has market discipline attached to it. My question is, how will the Fed's action in cutting the discount rate result in the market discipline for the irresponsible action, and what kind of market discipline can we expect to see for that kind of action? I'll take my answer on the air. Thank you.
Well, that's exactly the issue that will bother some of the Fed governors, especially the more academic types, and that is the what you call market discipline. That's a good word. That means that people should be responsible for their own decisions, their own behavior, and they've done things that hadn't been done before, and we're unsure whether this new approach to risk was going to be something that would survive over the long haul, and they were probably excessively confident about it. There's sort of a bubble in expectations and in euphoria in Wall Street over the advantages of these new instruments that have been created. So the Fed will be debating exactly that. Would a reduction of interest rates be a relaxation of market discipline? Would we be bailing out people who had done irresponsible things? Yes, the adjustable rate mortgages would benefit, because adjustable rate mortgages is one way of financing a long-term investment like a house with short-term money, and it's short-term money that the Federal Reserve's interest rates will have the biggest impact on.
Yeah. So, Professor Nichols, what does a short, quick recession mean to listeners right now that are listening to us?
Well, recessions will occur in more than one industry. Right now we have housing, it went down slowly for a year, and I think it's going to go down very quickly, the final leg of this. And that for the certainly for the fourth quarter, which starts in a couple weeks, we're going to see negative growth in this country. And that means it will tail over into the consumer sector. Household income, there will be a group of people whose mortgage payments will be reset. They'll have to restrict their spending, and their decline in spending is going to lead to declines in purchases of other things that households buy, and so we're going to see declines in these typically consumer-based industries, and that will lead to layoffs in stores as well as into the right down the pipeline.
Yeah, and what do you call a quick recession?
Quick means a steep decline, it's two quarters and it's over. Quick means it comes right away. Usually these things take a while to develop, but we were in teetering already with very low growth because of the housing decline, and this credit crunch was quick. This is a month ago, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now, and it has happened, bang, 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 and the credit crunch aspect of it may be over in another few months. That is, things may sort out on Wall Street, but the damage will have been done. And I think a quite rapid decline on a monthly basis for the next several months is in order.
Yeah. Jim from Kewanee wants to know, when does a recession become a depression?
It's terminology. There is no absolute formal definition of a recession. There's a committee of a group called the National Bureau of Economic Research, and they are the official group that determines whether we've had a recession or not. The quick and dirty definition we all use, because we need to know something in the meantime, is whether the GDP, which is the total production of the country, goes down for two calendar quarters in a row. So what is a depression? Well, the thing went down for years in the depression, and so it got a label. You know, at the time, depression was thought to be less than a recession. Oh, we're just entering a brief depression was the view. Well, the word stuck, and now depression, we call it the Great Depression. We've only had one of them, but that thing hung around for a decade, and it was a decline of about a third in total production for the whole every sector of the economy. A whopper. Nobody predicts that.
Next, we go to Tim in Oconomowoc. Hi, Tim. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'd like to call into question the whole concept of the Federal Reserve, as well as the concept that you can control the economy through a central bank and not have the ramifications of a declining dollar in world value and the enormous debt that we've piled up that's being loaned out to foreign countries that are probably going to take a very dim view to our reducing interest rates and thereby giving them less return on their investment, which means that they're going to consider going elsewhere for their investments, which is going to cause a continuing decline in the value of the dollar. I would call for a gold-based dollar and get back to more of an Austrian school of economics.
Well, the issues you raise are legitimate issues. Whether your solution is the one I would endorse, I wouldn't, in fact. But we have gone to an economy where the world's securities all compete with each other. And this is why there has been enormous coordination going on right now between the European Central Bank, the Japanese Central Bank, the British Central Bank, and ours over what to do. The hope is that if we came down a quarter point, all the rest of them would. So there would be no incentive for foreign countries to not to buy our securities. We would still have the same premium or discount that we had had before compared to these other countries. Europe is feeling the credit problems. Their banks are in trouble. They had bought many American mortgages and are in trouble. And so there is a reason to believe that they will come along with us. Now, Europe was about to raise rates. Britain certainly about to raise rates. And so as long as Britain just doesn't raise rates, they're a quarter point below where they would be. We continue with the same pattern that would otherwise exist. But as for the linking of currencies, gold is just one way to essentially move to a common world currency. A common world currency gets rid of the kind of problems you talked about, where you have to fear which country is going to buy which country's securities and whether we're going to be able to float our securities abroad. And there's many proposals and many ways to go to a single currency. And fixing exchange rates is the thing we've seen most recently, commonly. The Europeans went to one currency. They all had separate currencies just a few decades ago, and they went to one joint currency because of this kind of problem. We have kept our own. The Europeans have their own. The Japanese have their own. And the prices of these currencies fluctuate depending on trade flows and security purchases, things which affect the supply and demand for each of the currencies themselves. The dollar is going down. This was widely anticipated because of our huge trade deficit. How far it will go, of course, is anybody's guess, but it's gone down quite a bit, and it's not so far from an equilibrium based on costs, in my view. So I don't think this quarter-point decline is going to accelerate the decline in the dollar, because I think we'll get some cooperation from abroad. I think we've already seen the decline in anticipation of it. I do not view the international problem as being a major issue here.
We are talking this hour with Don Nichols. He is an emeritus professor of economics and of the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. talking about the Fed meeting today, the Federal Reserve meeting today to lower interest rates for the first time in 4 years, hoping to prevent a possible recession. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. If you have questions, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, I'll welcome in the author of the new book, Dead Certain, The Presidency of George W. Bush. You may have heard about this book and from this author. Lots of national attention on some of the revelations in this book, like President Bush saying that he cries a lot on the job, among other things. We'll be talking with Robert Draper coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now we're talking about the economy and the Federal Reserve setting up to cut interest rates today, wondering if this will stave off a possible recession. Don Nichols, our guest professor of economics, predicts we probably will have a short, quick recession, even with a quarter point cut in the interest rate. 1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890 if you have a question for him. Our next caller is Donna in Menominee. Hi, Donna. You're on the air.
Thank you. It seems to me that hedge fund managers may be losing money, but most of them are not losing their homes. And if we have indeed adopted a more deregulated sorts of markets and allowed more exuberant speculation, and they're now allowing a market correction, it seems it falls largely on individual homeowners and other people at the bottom, because our people do not have the German social safety network, the strong German unions, or the social wage of Germany. So it seems to me like another scheme for sticking it to the little guy, and I'd like a comment on the part of your guest.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is an element here, and there's an element in every one of these bubbles, as we have seen in a book by Charles Kindleberger, an element of, I won't say swindling in this case, because he has a chapter called The Swindlers, but it was irresponsible of lenders to push the kinds of mortgages they did on home buyers who had very limited resources, and I should say very limited ability to make the kind of complicated decisions they were making. And so they relied on the advice of the seller. And that's always a risky thing to do, to rely on the advice of the seller as to what you're getting. And it is true that lots of the subprime mortgages went to people who could not in the past have afforded a home. And they were told that they would be able to afford a home because why? Because home prices were going up. And if they bought now, their capital gains on their home would be enough to pay off the heavy part of their mortgage. And they were told they could get low interest rates for 3 years, and after that, the value of their house would be up enough so they could borrow some more money on it, and they would be in great shape. This was very irresponsible on the part of those lenders who did that. And that was not the majority of the lending institutions, but there were a batch of them, and they were concentrated in California, Nevada, Arizona, Texas, Florida. But they were some of them all over in all parts of the country. And so borrowers who came in this so-called subprime market. Now subprime refers to a borrower, not to a kind of mortgage that they got. The subprime borrowers came in, and many of them were unaware of the possibility of what's happening now, unaware that that possibility existed. Not that it was a likelihood, but unaware that it even existed. And they were really pushed by high-talking, fast-talking salesmen to do this. And that was very irresponsible. And I agree with you that the people at the bottom are the ones who are getting hurt the most. The Federal Reserve, there's nothing they can do for the people at the bottom as far as I see right now. I mean, lowering interest rates a couple full percentage points is probably not feasible. These ARMs, these adjustable rate mortgages that are being repriced so that people are going to have to pay more realistic rates, there's no way you can bring the current existing mortgage rate down to the level that they had been paying on these adjustable rate mortgages. So no one's talking that about bringing down the you would be talking about not a quarter point, but about 2 full points or 2.5 full points. It's just not in the cards. It's not going to happen. And though I acknowledge the consequences, the unfortunate consequences for people at the bottom end, and it is remaining true that people who don't have the knowledge to deal in financial markets should be very careful about any financial decision they make or any institution that they might go with, because they're very vulnerable.
Thank you, Donna. Tom in Burlington. Hello, you're on the air.
Continuing on that point, the banks have a very tricky way of writing their contracts so that regardless of all these other banks in Arizona and California that you were talking about, the banks have this tricky way of confusing the consumer. My neighbors, three of my neighbors have lost their homes, and they said, well, one said, we're raising your interest rate because you have too much on your credit cards. Now, so then that person went from $700 to $1,200 a month, and he's lost his homes. And the thing is, we really have to get into, I think, and I would like your opinion, get into the meat and potatoes things of these contracts that all these banks give these people, because I don't think it's fair to blame the consumer. And we're bailing out the businessman, and the consumer is losing his homes.
Well, I think my answer to mm-hmm. the previous caller is consistent with what you said. It isn't fair to blame the borrower. The borrower is not educated enough, is not sophisticated enough in financial decisions to make the decision that's best for him or herself. And it is not right to blame that person for the consequences of what's happening. There were many very irresponsible people who were writing mortgages, who were selling mortgages, and that was their business. And the people who sold at the very bottom end, in that group, there were some people who were just happy to collect their commissions, even though they were putting people into a position of great risk. So I'm agreeing with you that the financial industry bears a lot of the burden of this problem.
Thanks, Tom. Patricia in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I wasn't able to listen to the first half of the program, but has anyone brought up the impact this is going to have on people's savings accounts and the many retired people who depend on that interest? I'm sure all those rates are going to be going down too then.
Yeah, I was just going to share an email that came along those lines. Professor Nichols, what about the savings rate?
Well, it's true. The interest rate on savings at banks is a short-term rate. It will go down roughly by this quarter point, and that will hurt the income largely of retirees, but that is the kind of people who are relying on that for their current spending. Would be people who have accumulated saving over time. Yes, when short-term interest rates go down, this group finds their income goes down, and when short-term rates go up, they find their income goes up. And then, like 3 years ago, we were raising this rate every 6 weeks by a quarter of a point, and they did very well right then. And now it's going to go in the other direction for a bit.
Yeah, for a bit. So this quarter point cut won't be the last one in the next little bit?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think if this recessionary scenario unfolds the way I think it will, then we'll definitely see some more. The Federal Reserve will emphasize today, I bet, inflation. They will say, yes, there's a problem in markets, but I bet they'll put inflation, they'll put quite a spotlight on it and say that's their real job, is to make sure there's no inflation in our economy. Now, of course, this morning there was a price index released which showed no inflation in wholesale prices. That frees their hand a good deal. They can say, we're the inflation fighters, and look, there's no inflation right now, so we're able to lower rates. They may couch the rate decline at that level. And from what I understand, just from listening to your news as I'm here on the air, the rate went down by 1.5% in wholesale prices. So this frees their hand a good bit.
Yeah. Jackie in Eau Claire, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a quick question. I want to pose a hypothetical family who, you know, let's say you have a family, a single mother with 2 to 3 children, and due to personal circumstances, their any savings or any cushion they may have had has been exhausted. So they don't have that, you know, that backup in the event of a recession. What can one do? And using the hypothetical family, you know, to help out during a recession or just prior to a recession to get through this.
So how does one prepare for a recession, Jackie?
Well, in the short term, right. I understand in the long term that having a healthy savings you know, would be probably the long-term solution. But what can one do under those circumstances in a short term?
Mm-hmm. Well, resources are quite limited to someone who is affected in that way. Losing a job, there are circumstances, typical ones, under which people can collect unemployment compensation. A group of public services exist to help out truly needy people. They're not very generous in this country compared to other countries, but they exist. So we're not talking about extreme deprivation or starvation or anything like that. But a family with no saving going into recession is vulnerable. Now, I'm talking about a short recession. I'm talking about the unemployment rate going up a percentage point or a percent and a half. And so that means a very small fraction of the population getting in trouble with losing a job. We know from studying the unemployed that the people who are unemployed this month are not necessarily the same ones unemployed next month. So this is a rotating pool of people in this unemployed group. So my bet is that group is not large enough in numbers to scare the political forces enough that we're going to see much action about it.
Yeah.
We'll have a short, sharp recession with relatively nothing done for these people, and so they really have to, people really have to be prepared to look out for themselves.
Well, Professor Nichols, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you.
Now, Don Nichols, Emeritus Professor of Economics with the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. Thanks to Leo Duran and Karen Prager for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.